Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Oasis service at Church of the Lakes. We would love for you to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.oasisfaithcommunity.org.
Good morning again. What a joy it is to gather with you in this sacred space to proclaim the truth that Jesus is indeed our rescuer. I love worship. Thank you so much, team, for leading us in worship. Not for performing for us, but for leading us in worshiping Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, the Son of God, our rescuer. It is such a joy again to be with you. If you're a guest with us this morning, I want to extend a warm welcome to you. We are so thankful you chose to be with us today in this church to celebrate Jesus, to connect with other Christians, other sons and daughters of God, and hopefully leave here compelled to change the world by loving people one person at a time. Happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day, right? Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers by biology, adoption, or maybe even spiritual mothers. I know I'm somebody who will admit very quickly that I would not be who I am without women in my life. One of those women being Meredith. I actually got her a card this morning. Is that nice of me? I mean, I know I'm gift enough, right? But I got her a card, and this is what the card said on it. On the front, it said, "On Mother's Day, just relax. Put your feet up and expect to be waited on hand and foot." Then you open up the card, and it said, "In other words, act like Dad." And that is more truth than I want to admit this morning. Well, we're beginning a new series this morning, hallelujah, on what I believe to be the most important person in the entire Old Testament portion of our scriptures. That person is Moses. The epic account of Moses' life, together with the deliverance of the Israelite slaves from bondage in Egypt, here this church is the defining story of the Jewish people. Amidst chaos and confusion, hear this, it was Moses that God would use to fulfill a promise he made to an ancestor named Abraham, probably 400 years prior. And he would fulfill this promise by leading God's people to the border of the promised land, the land of Canaan, modern-day Israel. Through a supernatural escape, through a 40-year wilderness wandering, what Moses would do is he would teach a group of people to live in relationship with and for God. It would be Moses that would help bring focus and direction into the Israelites' lives. It was Moses that God would use to help the Israelites understand their true identities as sons and daughters of God. Purpose and identity. Are they not two things every single one of us wish and crave to understand more fully? Who am I? Why on earth am I here? I often lament over the state of the American culture. And I say that because like Moses' culture, it is a confusing and chaotic time to live in our world. But you want to know one thing I love about our culture? Friends, the people of our culture are asking questions that I believe only Jesus and his church can adequately answer. Amen? And those questions revolve around purpose and identity. Who am I? We can tell the world who they are as children of God. What am I here for? We can help breathe into them what their focus, why God created them, and how they have purpose this side of heaven. Well, in looking at these questions, I think Moses is a really good place to start. Because it's in the person of Moses that God reveals not only to the Israelites, but I think to us, 3,000 plus years later, our identity and our focus as people. I'm going to read some excerpts out of chapter 1 and 2. And they're kind of lengthy, but who doesn't love the story of Moses? So listen to these opening this opening season of Moses' life, starting in, verse 8. "Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in an event of a war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom's name was Sifra, the other Pua, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. Then Pharaoh commanded all of his people, every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, born for a purpose, I would add, she hid him 3 months. When she could see him no longer, when she could hide him no longer, she put him in a papyrus basket for him, plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister, who was Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to Moses. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and while her attendants walked beside the river, she then saw a basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying. So Pharaoh's daughter took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrews' children, she said. Then his sister Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, yes, go. And the woman called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you wages. So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for this place you've given us to gather and just connect with you and one another. Lord, I pray now that as we reflect on your life-giving word, that you bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, that they be of profit to us and acceptable to you, for you indeed are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, these are extremely difficult times for God's people. I said that a moment ago. Generations before, under the leadership of Joseph, one of the patriarchs of Israel, the people of God, the Hebrews, moved to Egypt at the request of the then Pharaoh. He even gave them the best of land to settle in, the land of Goshen. Now, generations later, a different king leads Egypt, a king who has no interest in being kind to God's people. So instead, God's people are oppressed, mandated to hard labor, subservient to their Egyptian counterparts, even severely brutalized. The Pharaoh of that day, driven by fear, even has the gall to decree the killing of all the Hebrew baby boys. Now, it would be in these confusing and chaotic times, times where God's people lost their sense of focus and direction, it would be in these times that God would raise up a leader amongst them. You see, friends, back in God's interaction with Father Abraham, 400 years prior to Moses, our story of today, God's people got a promise of what their life's purpose would be. And their promise included God telling Abraham that he would make him a great nation and would bless him so that he would be a blessing to the people around him. So Israel's purpose in a nutshell is this, to be a great nation so that they could bless all the other nations. Now, this was happening in Egypt. God's people were multiplying. They were increasing so much so that Pharaoh began to fear. You know, he viewed their population growth not as a blessing, but as a curse, a threat to his kingdom. You see, friends, Pharaoh did not have in his mind God's greater vision for the world. Pharaoh did not understand that God wanted to use this select people group to offer salvation to entire creation. But friends, Pharaoh does not have the strength or power to prevent God from doing what God wants to do. Amen. In fact, none of us have the strength and power to stop God from doing what God wants to do. So a baby boy is born to a woman named Jochebed. That's a great name, right? Jochebed looks at this child who she just birthed, and she realizes that, wow, he's made for a purpose. She understood that he had a divine appointment, that God would use him for mighty things. So she hides Moses from Pharaoh. She keeps him alive. She concocts this plan where he would eventually get the greatest education Egypt has to offer in the very palace of the man who is trying to kill this boy. We're going to stop the Moses story there and start making some connections. You know, as I reflect on these early stages of Moses' life, I think there's two things from this story that affect us in profound ways. The first is this. Moses is made for a purpose. Moses is made for a purpose. His existence, friends, has meaning. His life was ordained for so much more than slavery. In fact, Moses was knitted together in his mother's womb to be a great deliverer. Now, he may have felt pretty inadequate for the task at hand. We're going to get to that in later weeks. But Moses, again, knitted together, preordained to be the great deliverer of Israel. That's why he was born. Moses made for a purpose, mind you, that went far beyond his own little life. A purpose that pointed people to a merciful and righteous God who he claimed to be the great Jehovah. Okay, let me ask you a question. Point of application. Do you know that you were made for a purpose? Seriously, do you know you were made for a purpose? You were made for a purpose. You aren't globs of protoplasm that just randomly came together one day. You were made for a purpose. Can you say that with me on count of three? I was made for a purpose. One, two, three. I was made for a purpose. You know what I lament about our culture is many people walk through life in despair, despondent, because they don't believe they have a purpose to their existence. Friends, that's simply not true. Whoever you are, wherever you live, whatever your life experience, you have purpose, amen? The Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus says it this way. He says, "For we are God's workmanship." Hear that? "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which is prepared, preordained for us to do." What is Paul saying here? He's saying, first, God created you. You're not an accident. Amen? Look, I don't care what your parents or people in your life have told you in the past. You are not an accident. God created you. You were on God's mind when you were conceived. That's the first thing Paul is telling us here in Ephesians. The second, God has a plan for your life. You have purpose to your existence. You might be thinking, well, it's good to know I have purpose, Jared, but what is my purpose? Isn't that kind of where we waffle, we wonder, what's my purpose? Well, let me make a quick distinction before we get into purpose, because I think purpose is universal, to be honest with you. I think where we often get hung up is not on our purpose, it's on our calling. It's on, you know, God, what have you specifically made me to do? Is it to be a pastor, to be a teacher, to be a librarian, to be a milkman, to be a postal worker, to work in a restaurant as a waiter or waitress? And we wonder about our call. We'll get to that. Let me talk about purpose first. I think we all have universal purpose, and that purpose is fourfold. I'm just going to hit them out just to save time. The first is this. If you wonder what your purpose is, here it is. You were created to know God. Friends, you were created to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter where you are, circumstance you find yourself in, you can be in relationship with Jesus Christ. That is one of the purposes you were created. The second, you were created to grow in godly character. Friends, the type of people we become is more, so much more than our successes and failures, amen? We are called, created to grow in godly character, to emulate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to live it out, to every day be people who become more loving, more joy-filled, to be better peacemakers, to be more generous, more gentle, to practice more self-control. We were made, created, to grow in godly character. Third thing, we were created to tell other people about Jesus. That's kind of scary, but it's true. That's one of your purposes, to tell people about Jesus. At Church of the Lakes, the way we've articulated this piece of our purpose is with our mission statement, Christ's light for all. We're called to tell people about Jesus. We shine light. We share love in a world that is dark, in a world that is full of hate. This is an amazing purpose that we universally share. The fourth fold of your purpose, your existence, the reason you're here, and this is where it intersects with calling, is you were created to use your specific giftedness and skill set to bring God glory. Not to bring self-glory, to bring God glory. You know, God created us uniquely different. Praise be to God for that. One from another, uniquely different. Not one person more important than another. No, all different. All called to fulfill our purpose, to use our gifts to glorify God. With that said, we're not here to try to fill somebody else's calling or shoes, but rather our own, to maximize the potential God has instilled in each of us. When I was heading into pastoral ministry, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was lamenting about how I will never be able to fill my father's shoes. My father, in my mind, is a spiritual giant. He's a retired United Methodist pastor, 40 years as a pulpit preacher, just a spiritual giant. And I was lamenting that I'm never going to fill his shoes. And my friend kind of chuckled at me. And he said, Jared, listen, because you're not supposed to fill your father's shoes. Those are your dad's shoes to fill. You're supposed to fill Jared's shoes with the giftedness and skill sets God has given you. Oh, and by the way, it's not about you. It's about giving God glory. Right, amen? For the gifts he's given you. Fourfold purpose. Don't miss it. You're created to know God, created to grow in godly character, created to tell people about Jesus Christ and his love, and finally, where it intersects with call, created to use your distinct and specific skill sets to bring God glory this side of heaven. Now, let's go back to Moses for a second. His mother, Jochebed, knew he was made for a purpose. Again, friends, we were all made for a purpose. Don't leave here without knowing that you have purpose. This is the first piece of the beginning of Moses' story that I wanted to pull out this morning that I think affects our lives. The second piece, which will be a quicker explanation, has to do with community. It has to do with the importance of having people surrounding you that help you find and fulfill your purpose. Let's pull that out of Moses' story. Even before Moses was born, friends, and through the early years of his life, God placed people in his path who surrounded him to help position him to finding and fulfilling his purpose. Just this morning, we read about five women that God used to help Moses find and fulfill purpose. What's that saying? Behind every strong man is a stronger woman, right? Moses had five. Who are the five? The first two were midwives. They were named Puah and Sephra. And Puah and Sephra defied the decree, the command of Pharaoh to kill all the Hebrew boys. Don't miss it. These two women are significant. Without these two courageous women, friends, hear me, Moses never would have taken one breath towards fulfilling the purpose he was created for. Hugely important to his life. The third is Moses' mother, Jochebed, his biological mother. You know, Jochebed knew this boy was special, that God was going to use him for mighty things. So she hides him from Pharaoh, keeps him from dying a vicious death. The fourth is Moses' sister, Miriam, who along with Jochebed devised this plan to get Moses in the tar and pitch basket to float coincidentally into the path of Pharaoh's daughter. And then the fifth woman is Pharaoh's daughter, Moses' adopted mom, who she embraces with compassion and takes her into his home or her home to raise him as her own and give her the education he needed to become who he became. All five women play important roles in Moses' life. Again, pointing him, positioning him, and finding and fulfilling his purpose. Okay, how does this affect our life in the here and now? I'm going to answer that with a question. Who have been the people in your life that have surrounded you, that God has used to help you find and fulfill your purpose? Who have been those people? Who have been your Pua and Sifra, your Jochebed and Miriam? Who has been your Pharaoh's daughter? As you're thinking about who that has been in your life, let me tell you about my life. In my life, I immediately think of my mom and dad as being my Pua and Sifra, my Jochebed, my Miriam, my Pharaoh's daughter. I entered pastoral ministry at 27 years old. It's 11 years ago. And that first holiday season, that first Christmas during seminary, during graduate school, I went home to visit with my parents for the holidays. And we were one night just sitting at the kitchen table together, just shooting the breeze, talking about life. And I was kind of sharing some of my hopes and dreams moving forward with Meredith, my wife, in the ministry. And then the conversation took a turn, and I started to share some of my anxieties about going into ministry and really starting to ask the questions, is this really what I was made to do? Is this really one of the purposes God wants me to fulfill in my life? And just starting to kind of waver a little bit with call. And it was at this moment that my mom and dad told me a really neat story. They said, Jared, when you were 4 years old, God revealed to us you'd be a pastor. But we didn't tell you then because we didn't want to cloud your judgment. We wanted you to discern that for yourself. Now, you might think that sounds a little harsh, but that doesn't mean my parents didn't give me experiences or put me in circumstances to help me discern that call into my life, to help me find and fulfill my purpose. My parents, two of many that God has used in my life, friends, to help me discern God's my God-given purpose. Again, what about you? Who has God placed in your life to help you, to point you to finding and fulfilling your purpose? Has that person been a parent, a sibling, a pastor, a teacher, a friend? Friends, we are not on this journey of understanding alone, amen? We have each other. We have to have each other because we're in this together, fulfilling purpose together. Which I think begs a closing question. You have each had people in your life that has surrounded you, has helped you, has positioned you to finding and fulfilling your purpose. Here's the question. How have you surrounded another in helping them find and fulfill their purpose? Friends, our God loves us so much. He loves us so much, not only because he created us for a purpose, but because he has given us each other to make sure our purposes are found and then fulfilled. God, who created Moses for mighty purposes, guess what? Has also created each and every one of you for mighty purposes. And maybe the pinnacle of that purpose is to shine Christ's light and to win this world over in love. One heart at a time. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we just acknowledge collectively that you are indeed a sovereign God, a God who knit each of us together in our mother's wombs, a God who handcrafted us, Lord, molded us together with not only a universal purpose, but a distinct calling, Lord, this side of heaven. You know, Lord, we know we are here to get to know you in greater depth, to grow in godly character, to tell people about your son, Jesus, and to, again, use our distinct calling to give you glory. God, may we do all those things and more. Lord, may we enter into our mission field this day and forever and remember that we are here for a purpose, to shine your light and to share your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.